Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. It's our fall membership drive. More on that in a moment. The Horseshoe at Ohio Stadium is one of the oldest, still active football stadiums in the country. Its iconic horseshoe shape is known the country over, and it fans, and it's the third largest stadium in college football, hosting more than 100,000 people each week at the Shoe. This year marks the 10th anniversary of Ohio State's last national championship, sad fact, but the stadium has grown along with the Buckeyes, including updates big and small, and growth from 60,000 seats to 100,000. We're talking all about the Horseshoe Stadium this hour and the 10th anniversary of the Buckeyes' last national championship. Joining me in studio is Bill Rabinowitz, Ohio State football beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch. Welcome.
Nice to be with you, Anna.
He's also the co-author of the book Cardale Jones, Leading the Buckeyes, Finding My Purpose, and Never Giving Up. And we're joined by Bob Long, a retired civil engineer, a graduate of OSU, who worked on the 1999 renovation of the Horseshoe. Welcome to All Sides, Bob.
Hi, Anna.
So, Bob, our football stadium was built in 1922. It's one of the oldest stadiums still in regular use and one of the largest stadiums in the country. But I understand that when it was originally built, it accommodated 66,000 fans. How on earth did they nearly double the capacity of the stadium?
Well, actually, the 66,000 seats that were built in 1920, that was the most amazing thing. That was such a big portion of the city of Columbus's population. Before that, they were at Ohio Field, which was at the corner of High Street and Woodruff, and it only seated 10,000 people. It was made of wood. In fact, they had to have the fire marshal there every game because
were
afraid that the stadium would catch fire. So when the first thought they had for a new stadium would be on the north side of the oval, and it was going to be it was going to be a bowl. But when they found out the stadium would be 10 feet taller than the library, and it would be 10 times the surface area of the library, the university thought that would be a bad look. So they decided to move the stadium as far away from the oval as they could, and they put it in the far northwest part of the property where it was a cornfield.
That's wild.
But when they, and then they designed it, and they came up with 66,000 people. And to replace a 10,000-seat stadium with a 66,000-seat stadium was mind-boggling.
Yeah, there was a lot of concern that it wouldn't fill up, that they'd never fill it up. And, you know, Bill, we get 100,000 people pretty consistently at home games. They fill it.
Oh, they absolutely fill it. I'm amazed even at spring games, which are really glorified scrimmages, that they will get, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90,000 people, depending on the year and the weather and all that stuff. Because for a lot of people, it's their only chance to get to a game. And so they bring their kids. Maybe they stay for a half, but they go. And I think a lot of people go just as much to be in the stadium as it is to watch the practice.
Bob, you know, what's unique about the Shoe to me is that professional sports teams seem to want new stadiums built every 25 or 30 years. But the Horseshoe has been in use for more than 100. Why do you think that the Horseshoe endures when the norm seems to be to tear stadiums down and rebuild?
Well, first of all, Ohio Stadium is a historic landmark. When it was built, the architect Howard White Smith won an award nationally, a gold medal for his design. One problem with a new stadium is how much they cost. When Ohio Stadium was built, if you take the original cost in today's dollars and divide it by 66,000 seats, that's only $386 a seat. By contrast, the most expensive stadium in America today is SoFi Stadium for the Los Angeles Rams. It cost $6 billion. And
jeez,
it only houses 70,240 seats. That's $85,421 a seat. Now, I'm not sure whether Ohio State, if they built a new stadium, would want to spend $6 billion on a new stadium.
Oh, my goodness. That would be a lot of fundraising from their booster clubs. But, you know, the stadium's also hosted some famous performers. Everyone from Taylor Swift to Metallica, the Rolling Stones, Elton John, Pink Floyd. They do get use out of it, but I think one of the challenges there is who can sell 100,000 tickets.
Yeah, in fact, I did see the Rolling Stones there.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were great. We were in SeaDeck, I think, and it was great. I was surprised that the sound was as good as it was. You know, obviously the big event in March is going to be the hockey game with the Detroit Red Wings. The Blue Jackets are going to play there, and that's obviously something they're already, you know, marketing a lot. And so, yeah, the stadium is an iconic, the Horseshoe is an iconic place.
And the Buckeyes are a pretty iconic team. I mean, Columbus doesn't have an NFL team, but we kind of do in the Buckeyes. One of the most famous plays in Ohio State history was during the 2002 season. It was called the Holy Buckeye. I'm sure you know about it, Bill. It was 4-3. The Buckeyes were losing to Purdue. And, I mean, that touchdown pass was bananas. I don't know any other way to describe it.
Yeah, it was. It saved their season. It was fourth down play. Craig Krenzel chucked it to Michael Jenkins, and then he caught it. Funny, they actually at Purdue. It wasn't at the Horseshoe. It was at Purdue. But, they had so many calls, that close calls that year. That's, you know, they're kind of nicknamed the Luckeyes because they had so many close. Cincinnati almost beat them. Cincinnati dropped a couple balls in the end zone. Obviously, the last game against Miami was controversial.
Double overtime.
Terry Porter's flag came late. And it was a very resilient team, an amazing team. But, yeah, they had their share of close calls.
Yeah, I think it definitely, that season gave a lot of Buckeye fans gray hair.
Yeah.
You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. It's our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support pays for the programs you love on this station. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. For a membership of $20 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $240, we have a fantastic Ohio State-themed thank you gift. You and a guest will go behind the scenes of Ohio Stadium for a VIP tour. This is an exclusive WOSU media member tour. Join us Tuesday, November 19th at 5:30 p.m. You're going to get to walk the sidelines where Woody once roamed, stand on the field where Archie made history. It's a 90-minute tour, and it includes access to the band center, the home team locker room. You're not going to want to miss this. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. With your gift of $20 a month, you get two tickets. So bring a friend, bring a family member, a kid, a sibling. Bring the Buckeye fan in your life. So you go on the tour, and you get an autographed copy of Cardale Jones' book about the incredible 2014 season. This book is a great gift for any Ohio State fan. It was co-written by our guest, Bill Rabinowitz. It tells the story of Cardale's life, including how he got his name. I'm not going to spoil it. It's very good. And it traces his trajectory from Cleveland to Columbus, from third-string quarterback to national champion. So you get the autographed book and the tour for $20 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $240. It's the perfect holiday gift for yourself or the Buckeye fan in your life. Make that gift now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And your gift does more than get you a tour of the stadium, which is just objectively cool. It supports public radio. If you listen to All Sides every day, then we're asking you to support the programs you value. You listen to 89.7 because you know you can trust the news you hear, something that is so important this election. We're asking for your gift of support today. Make this drive a success. Call 866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. $20 a month, you get two tickets, you get the book. Call 866-897-9678. Bill, let's talk about 2014. I was actually living in Oregon, which is a whole other thing because we watched the national championship in Oregon. But, I mean, we started the season with a second-string quarterback because Braxton Miller tore his shoulder in the summer.
Right.
Or he, like, re-injured his shoulder, essentially. Then we lost to Virginia Tech. JT Barrett broke his ankle during the Michigan game, which meant we headed into Wisconsin with a third-string sophomore named Cardale Jones. Nobody expected him to win.
Well, people forget that Wisconsin was favored in that Big Ten championship game. And yeah, Cardale Jones was a complete mystery. He had done almost nothing as a player. The only reason people knew about him was that famous or infamous tweet that he sent out as a freshman about playing school. And so Ohio State was on the outside looking in for the playoffs, first year of the playoff. And people thought, well, they're not going to beat Wisconsin probably. If they do, it's still not going to be enough to get in the playoff. So they weren't really thinking, well, we got to beat them 59-0. They were just thinking, well, we're going to win this game. And well, it was the perfect game. It was 59-0. Cardale Jones played great. They get to the playoff. And
they squeak in the number four slot.
Right. They squeaked in number four playoff. I remember seeing Urban Meyer in the concourse in Indianapolis in the stadium and after the game, and he said, do you think we did enough? And I just remember saying to him, I can't see how they keep you out. And that's what happened.
Yeah. And then they had to go play Alabama.
Yeah.
And I remember watching the Alabama game, and my husband and I were thinking, okay, as long as they have a decent showing, right? Like, even us as Buckeye fans were like, I think they're going to lose, but hopefully they hang.
I thought they had about a 30% chance to win. I mean, I'd seen that team really develop and really start to peak. But again, Cardale Jones was starting his second game. I mean, how much, you know, what could you really... How much faith could you really have in somebody starting their second game against Big Bad Alabama and Nick Saban? And they took it to them. Even when in the first half, when Alabama went up, you know, big, Ohio State was moving the ball. They just made some mistakes. They couldn't cash it in the red zone. And then Evan Spencer threw a touchdown pass to Michael Thomas, one of the great plays in Ohio State history, and then they took over in the second half.
I know. And then we get to Marcus Mariota and the Ducks.
Right, right.
As somebody who was living in Oregon, who was working at an Oregon newspaper, I don't know if it was just like the culture that I was in, but they were so confident. Oh my goodness. They were so sure that Marcus Mariota and that like super fast offense was going to crush us.
I was pretty sure Ohio State was going to win during the interview portion of the week because Oregon's
players are so much smaller.
And I thought, Ohio State is going to maul them. And I thought the only chance that Oregon really had was, well, first of all, Mariota's a great college quarterback. He really was. Heisman Trophy winner. And I thought the tempo would be an issue. Their plan was to get a snap off every 16 seconds. And the first drive of the game, Oregon went right down the field, didn't even need a third down and scored. You think, okay, you know, maybe. And then Ohio State just took over. And they did. They mauled them. And it was 42-20, I think, was the final. And it wasn't even that close, to be honest, at the end.
No, I know. I went into the newsroom to go gloat, and the sports editor at the Statesman Journal was just, he looked like someone had shot his dog. I felt so bad for him. All I could do was put my hand on his shoulder and be like, I'm really sorry, man.
But you weren't.
No, I was not, but I did not gloat. I want to say thank you to Denise Williams from Lewis Center. Bob, this gift that we're giving is a tour of the stadium. Now, that championship game was not played at Ohio State, but there have been lots of famous games and lots of major renovations. I want to talk a little bit about your work from 1999 to 2001. What kind of changes happened during that renovation?
First of all, I'd like to say that I had the privilege of being at that championship game, too. And if you looked at the body language of Oregon at the end of the game, they had had enough. They didn't want to be there. I mean, it was a physical mismatch. But anyway, the big change from 1999 renovation was that they filled in the south stands. Before that time, the south bleachers were always assembled and disassembled before and after each year. So that was a major change. Also, the east and west sides of the stadium were expanded outward, and that also made for the fact that the seats had to go upward. So they went from 66,000 to over 100,000 by those two changes, plus the fact they lowered the playing field 15 feet and added a few rows of bleachers toward the stadium, toward the field itself, which removed the running track, which had been there since 1920.
Wait, they like literally dug deeper to build a lower field for the stadium?
Yes, they did. They dug deeper, and because it's beside the river, the ground, the field is actually below the water table.
Oh my goodness.
And so now they have what's called a slurry wall, which is a glorified bathtub that is a ring around the field. And there are tubes in that slurry wall, and they can tell the level of the water at any given time, and they know when to pump the water out. Otherwise, Ohio Stadium would be an aquarium.
Well, that's some clever engineering to be able to take it down below the water table and maintain its dry. Like, I mean, nobody wants a fishbowl.
That's the truth. The one other problem with that, though, is that they've had problem growing grass because the field is so much lower than the top of the stands, and they've been forced to go to artificial turf.
Yeah, Bill, artificial turf is pretty, like, people have very strong opinions about it versus grass.
Well, I will say that I don't know what they're calling now, but the field turf, whatever the variation is now, is much better than the old-fashioned AstroTurf, which, if anyone ever played on the old, like, 1970s-style AstroTurf, it was like concrete. Mm. Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati had that. A lot of places did. That was really inhumane for football players to play on that stuff was awful. This stuff is spongy at least, so it's not you're not having that concrete feel to it. But it's not the same as grass. And there's some controversy that Ohio State's type of field turf, that same kind has been banned from the NFL.
Mm.
And so there's a little bit. I mean, I don't know enough about it to really say whether it's dangerous or not, but there's been some talk that about replacing it or at least looking into it.
I want to say thank you to Shauna in Newark. This hour of All Sides is all about football and Ohio Stadium. Thank you for joining us during our fall membership drive. We're offering a scarlet and gray thank you gift that's perfect for the OSU fan in your life. For $20 a month as a sustainer, you and a guest will join WOSU for a VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. And you're going to get a copy of Cardale Jones's book about our last national championship season. Join us Tuesday, November 19th at 5:30 p.m. for this incredible tour. You don't want to miss this one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members only. Since the stadium opened in 1922, the Shoe has been an icon in Columbus. Taking this tour is a must for any Buckeye fan and fan of public radio. For your gift of $20 a month, or a one-time gift of $240, you're going to get two tickets. Bring the football fanatic in your life. Bring a friend, sibling. Maybe bring your kid who aspires to one day be a Buckeye. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Plus, when you go on the stadium tour, you're going to get an autographed copy of Cardale Jones's book about that incredible 2014 season that we've been talking about. Give it WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you can't make it to the event, but you still love the Buckeyes, you can give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 and get that autographed copy of Cardale's book. The book is written by Cardale himself, along with Bill Rabinowitz, our guest today. The book gives readers an unfiltered view of Cardale's life, including interviews with his high school coaches, his family. It's an insider's perspective on that amazing season when a third-string quarterback led the Buckeyes to a national championship. Did you know that Cardale was thinking of leaving the Buckeyes that year, trying to find a place to play first string? Give $10 a month and get this great book, or a one-time gift of $120, and you get to support public radio. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We're listener-supported here at 89.7 NPR News. We count on listeners like you to give what you can during these membership drives. In return, we bring you news and information you can trust. We're here for you every morning at 10 a.m. talking about Central Ohio. We have in-depth, thoughtful conversations, and we can do that because we're listener-supported. So make a gift, WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Bill, have you ever taken the stadium tour? I mean, you get to see it all the time.
Well, no, I haven't. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be
Bill's
going to
join me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll get to see me. You'll get to see Bill. Maybe you can ask him some Buckeye trivia.
Here's some fun. I've never seen the locker room because they bring the players out to the media interview room. So I've never been in the locker room at the stadium.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if people are going to be able to see the press box. I'm not sure that's all that exciting for them. Some people might be. I don't know. But, yeah, I always do when I go to the stadium, cover a game, take a minute and just look around and just marvel at just what a beautiful place it is. It just is.
Yeah. You know, the 2014 season was unprecedented. I know we use that a lot for elections, but it was a crazy season. When did you realize there was a book there?
Well, I'd done one on the 2012 team, so I kind of figured if, you know, they ever won a championship, I would probably do another one. So that was always in the back of my mind. After Virginia Tech, I thought, well, I don't have to worry about that this year. I would say probably Wisconsin, because that made the playoff a reality. And then when they beat Alabama, I thought, okay, I think I might be having to do this one. And then all week, it was funny, I have a sports writer friend who in Dallas that week kept saying, oh, you're going to have to write another one. You're gonna... And I was like, oh, no, no. And and I thought he was right. I mean, I thought they were going to win. And so, yeah, that was when.
How did you land on Cardell as the central character in the book?
His was the most fascinating story. He was the only player in that 2014 book, The Chase, that I devoted an entire chapter to, because his story was just so incredible. His background in Cleveland, which I'm not saying nobody had a worse upbringing, because people did, but
and you get a really unfiltered view of how challenging it was for him growing up. I mean, he's honest about the struggles with his mother, about the like struggle just to buy shoes that fit.
Right. Cardale's unfiltered anyway, so that wasn't hard to get him to you know, open up. I mean, he's a pretty open book in a lot of ways. You know, very charismatic guy, and
but it's not the kind of thing, you know, like watching him play or hearing him in football interviews. It's a really intimate look at his life.
Oh, absolutely. And I said when we kind of embarked on this project that I know that people are going to look at those three games, where the Wisconsin, Alabama, and Oregon games, and probably just open the book to that. But I think the heart of the book is his upbringing and the fact that it was a miracle that he ever got to the point where he could play those three games. That, to me, is the heart of the story.
You know, Bob, I got to ask, as somebody who renovated the stadium, are there places, do you have a favorite spot in the Shoe? Do you have places that if someone's taking a tour, we definitely have to go check out?
Even though it wasn't part of the renovation, the North Rotunda is still my favorite part. I love to go to the games early and watch the people do OHIO in front of, you know, the North Rotunda. That seems to be
it's an iconic image.
Tradition. It is. It's a little bit in disrepair now, but still, it's phenomenal. I know how hard it was to build. To build a half of a dome like that is difficult, but it's beautiful, and I'm glad that they didn't cover it up when they did the renovation.
Part of your renovation was also to modernize the stadium. I mean, it's 1922. Like, electrical wiring was way different then than it is now, especially when you consider the animated scoreboards and the overhead lights. And I mean, there's just so much more technology in that stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. The original cost of the stadium was $1.6 million, which is about $25 million now. The renovation cost $187 million. It costs a lot to put in all those luxury loges. And of course, the South Stands. I mean, I can remember sitting in the South Stands when it was the bleachers. And if there would be an interception and everybody stood up at the same time, the bleachers would sway backwards 6 or 7 inches. My son was scared to death. It was so much better to have a concrete permanent stands.
Yeah, you also helped redesign the luxury boxes for those who have quite a bit of money to spend on a Buckeye game.
That's right. There's a major difference between the west side of the stadium, which has all the luxury boxes, and the east side, which is still pretty straight football.
Have you ever been in the luxury boxes, Bill?
Briefly before a game to see a friend. That was it. But I did, one of my earliest memories is going to an Ohio State game with my dad. It must have been 1969 or 70. It's a Michigan State game, and sitting in the bleachers, I was 5 or 6 years old, and you couldn't see anything beyond the 30-yard line. But it was just fun to be there. I walked through, back then, you parked and you walked through cow pastures.
So oh, my gosh.
You learn to watch
your
feet.
There are no cow pastures now.
No, there are not.
Parking is one of those things, Bob, that is increasingly difficult for a Buckeye game. I mean, getting 100,000 people downtown. I mean, the last game I went to, I think we walked 1.5 miles to get to the game. Like, we had to park pretty far away.
Yeah, that's a problem. I don't know that they'll ever build any parking garages or anything like that. But yeah, the worst game for parking that I ever saw was in 2005, Texas, when Texas, they were terrific. I mean, we parked way north of Ackerman Road. It was a very long walk.
Bill, I think it's time to talk about the blue and yellow elephant in the room.
You don't want to say maize and blue?
I mean, so we've lost 3 years in a row. What happens if we lose this year?
Well, that's something that nobody here wants to contemplate, right? I mean, that's, first of all, I think Ohio State will be a solid favorite in that game. Michigan's having its struggles this year. They lost so many people. They lost Jim Harbaugh, obviously. Lost the core of their team. They still have very good players, especially on defense. But to go with the premise of your question, Armageddon. I mean, now the
when
good
we had
thing,
Ted Carter on, he said, "I support
yes.
Ryan Day." I don't know.
The saving grace could be that there's still a playoff. And
yeah,
last
big playoff.
Year, right. Last year was kind of an all or nothing game, and that was the last of the all or nothing games. This year, first of all, they could play in the Big Ten championship game, and Ohio State, assuming that they make the playoff, you know, could win the national championship even if they lose to Michigan. So it's not everything this year, but still, the idea of losing four in a row to Michigan is
especially at home this time.
Especially at home this time. But again, I think if they played this game now, Ohio State, yeah, I'm just guessing, would be maybe at least a 2-touchdown favorite.
I want to say thank you to James Tudis from Dublin. You're listening to All Sides on listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. It's our fall membership drive. Support the conversations we bring you every day. You only find this kind of in-depth conversation and information on public radio. So support the station now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is a special hour to become a member because we have this great thank you gift. For $20 a month as a sustainer, you get 2 tickets for a VIP tour of the Horseshoe. This tour is exclusive for WOSU members only, and you can only get tickets by becoming a member right now. Don't miss this chance. We do have a limited number of tickets. There's only so many people we can take around the stadium at one time. So if you want to go, give now $20 a month. Join public radio members and fans of All Sides for a behind-the-scenes tour of Ohio State Stadium. I'm going to go on the tour. Absolutely would not miss it. Bill Rabinowitz is going to be there. He's been covering the Buckeyes for more than a decade. He has forgotten more about the Buckeyes than I will ever know. He'll be a great addition. You're going to get special access to the band center, the home locker room, which surprisingly Bill has never seen. You will get up close and personal with the sidelines where Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel called plays, stand on the field where JT Barrett, TJ Smith, Marvin Harrison Jr. played, where Archie Griffin set the school's single game rushing record. This tour is a must for anyone who loves Buckeye football and loves public radio. You get to support the program you love and get a pretty awesome experience during the stadium tour. It's 90 minutes. I mean, we're going to get an intimate look at the stadium. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And the tour includes a bonus gift. You get an autographed copy of Cardale Jones's book about that historic 2014 season. The book will be signed by co-author Bill Rabinowitz, who is in studio with us as well. It's very exciting. Give now to get the tickets to the tour and the autographed copy of the book and support public radio. Make your gift at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. The tour is Tuesday, November 19th at 5:30. If you can't make it and you still want to support us, then give $10 a month and get the book as a thank you gift. I have an autographed copy of it, and it's a really good read. Like, I don't read a ton of sports coverage. I love watching the Buckeyes. I grew up a Jets fan in New York, so, you know, I have an affinity with the Cleveland Browns fans. It's tough to be a Jets fan, but I grew up watching it. I don't read a ton of sports coverage, although I do like Bill's podcast. It's very good. But this book, even if you like football, but you're not, like, a diehard, like, read-every-article fan, the book is so fascinating because of the story of Cardale Jones, because of his upbringing and how close he came to being a statistic instead of a star. So you give $10 a month and get the book or a one-time gift of $120 at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Marty Sturgeon from Columbus. You're going to have a great time with us. So, Bill, let's talk a little bit about this season thus far. We've got a new quarterback. We've got quite the powerhouse team in the running backs. Like, the offense is looking pretty darn good, in my opinion.
Yeah, the offense is a juggernaut. I mean, Will Howard, a graduate transfer from Kansas State, he feels like a kid in the candy store because he's got Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins to hand the ball off to.
He's oh, my got goodness.
Jeremiah Smith, who's just an amazing
freshman.
He's a freshman.
Is he like a redshirt freshman?
No,
or a freshman,
he's a true
freshman.
He was the number one player of the 2024 recruiting class nationally. So
he's like 18, 19.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And on signing day, when there seemed to be some question about whether he would follow through on his commitment, he's from Miami, and people thought maybe Miami would snag him at the end. When Ryan Day was informed on signing day during the press conference that, yes, indeed, Jeremiah Smith would be a Buckeye, his knees actually, like, buckled. He, like, no, it's you can see it on YouTube. It's pretty funny. And you've got Emeka Buka. And
stuck around.
Yes, right. Yeah, but that's the thing. You have a lot of these seniors, especially on defense, who stuck around instead of going to the NFL. And the defense is really, really good. I mean, people are nitpicking, people, including me. Like, 30, but they gave up 7 points, and that was after a turnover. So the standard's very, very high for this team, and I don't think they've quite hit it entirely, but it's only 4 games in. They're not supposed to peak until later in the season. But the ingredients are there for a championship run.
How much do you think NIL played a factor in people like Abuka staying? Because they call it the $20 million team because they have $20 million in endorsements.
Right. A lot. I mean, let's not be naive here. I mean, these players came to Ohio State to win a championship, but also to prepare themselves for the NFL. That's their ultimate goal, is to play in the NFL and make millions. So the idea that a lot of these guys stayed is a testament to the brotherhood that they feel at Ohio State, but also the fact that there wasn't enough incentive financially for them to stay.
Bob, you talked a little bit about some of the parts where the stadium might need a little extra work. Do you think that Ohio State will just keep renovating rather than keep rebuilding rather than replacing? Do you think we'll be talking, well, not us, but somebody else will be talking about the 200th anniversary of the horseshoe?
I don't know about 200. I will say that after attending over 100 games, I do wish they would do something with the restrooms there. I wish they would make more, build more. I mean, that's just a fact. In the 2016 Ohio State-Michigan game, the overtime game, I missed the third quarter because I had to go to the restroom.
Oh, my goodness.
I missed the quarter. But luckily, I was there for the fourth quarter and the overtime. In terms of the tour of the stadium, I have been in the locker room. It was wonderful. And I will never forget going down the ramp and being on the field. I mean, for every high school, former high school player that in the state of Ohio, their goal, I'm sure, was to run down the ramp and go on the field and be a Buckeye. Well, this is your opportunity.
Live out that dream.
The ramp is pretty great. In terms of renovating some of the older parts, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see loges on both sides of the field.
Mm.
I do think they could patch up the North Rotunda a little bit. I mean, it's difficult to think about actually changing the structure itself. The main thing they did when they renovated in 99 was they kept all the arches. I mean, the original arches are still there from the original structure, but they did an outbuild, and they matched those arches on the new facade.
That's nice, though. I like when renovation, like, takes mind to take care of the historic look of a stadium.
Absolutely.
Or building.
I knew the engineers, Osborne Engineering in Cleveland. I talked to them before the work began. They spent so much time trying to make sure that they didn't alter the feel of the stadium.
Bob, I also understand you have a model of the stadium in your basement. Is that from the renovation, or did you just build it yourself?
I built it to celebrate the 100th anniversary. And because we worked on the renovation, all the contractors had to guarantee that they were fully familiar with all the aspects of what was there so that there wouldn't be any back charges for unseen circumstances. So everybody got a copy of the 100-year-old drawings.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
I had a copy, and I used those drawings to build my model. And I took those copies of the old drawings and applied those to the cardboard that made the model. And so the original markings from 100 years ago are on my model.
Oh, my gosh. We just heard from a new member who says they want to be anonymous, but they wanted to say that she has wanted to donate for a while and finally did today. So that's awesome. And I have more questions about that model in just a second, but this is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. It's our fall membership drive. And for this hour, we're talking about a great gift for Ohio State fans that's exclusive to WOSU Public Media members. If you make a gift of $20 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $240, you will get a pair, two tickets, to a VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. $20 a month as a sustainer, so don't miss this opportunity. We have a limited number of tickets. We can't bring 500 people on the tour of the stadium, so you have to make a gift of $20 a month, which can be withdrawn from your checking account, charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. The event is Tuesday, November 19th at 5:30 p.m. You're going to explore parts of the horseshoe you never get to see on game day. It's a 90-minute tour, so you're going to see it all. The band center, the field, the home locker room. Make a gift and get two tickets for this very special tour. Plus, you're going to get an autographed copy of Cardale Jones's book about the 2014 National Championship and how he got there. It's $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you can't make the event, but you love the Buckeyes and public radio, then make a gift of $10 a month, and we'll send you an autographed copy of the book, co-written by Bill Rabinowitz, longtime Buckeyes reporter and one of our guests this hour. It's $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. And it's an inside look at Cardale's life and the crazy 2014 season, including what it was like to be coached by Urban Meyer and whether Cardale felt like Urban ever fully trusted him. It is a very honest look at what it was like to be one of Urban's players. Give us a call now at 866-897-9678. If you listen to All Sides every day, then you know we're committed to producing in-depth conversations on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. You get all your Ohio politics news on our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday. You hear straight from newsmakers from all sides of the aisle. You even hear from Ohio State President Ted Carter. If having a locally focused talk show is important to you, then now is the time to make a gift and support the station. Pick up your phone, go to WOSU.org, or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Bernard Rabinowitz from Dayton. Who says the gift is in honor of Bill. I suspect there may be a relation there.
There might be. My father.
Aw, that's very sweet of him.
Thanks, Dad.
So, what were the major challenges, Bob, in renovating a stadium approaching its centennial? Like, I mean, I think of old home renovations. I mean, they're sometimes called money pits. Old homes come with old problems.
That's true. This was more of an outbuild than it was. Well, on the west side, there was a renovation because of the loggias. But the major work was an outbuild where it was an entirely new section of the stadium. There was less drilling and grouting than you might think, although they did patch up some of the weakest parts of the slabs. The structure was tested, and weaknesses were fixed. But you're right. When you're working on a historical cathedral, you have to be careful in your renovation.
Bill, if the Buckeyes win the national championship this year, will you write another book? No pressure.
I will certainly consider it. I mean, the thing that might make it more challenging is in the NIL era. I don't know that I'll get the cooperation from the players.
Oh.
And a lot of these guys will be headed to the NFL. It's
a
lot harder
point.
To track them down. So the books I've done have been all or mostly original reporting. And so that'll be much more of a challenge this year.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I don't know. And then, you know, there are other issues, but I would have to consider it, put it that way.
I want to say thank you to David and Julie Sapper from Columbus. I do wonder how this playoff is going to change everything, because we're going to have like an actual series. It's going to be a longer season.
Right. They could play as many as 17 games.
Which is wild.
More likely would be 16.
More like an NFL.
Yeah. I mean, you'd play the Big Ten Championship, I'm assuming Ohio State's in it, and then they would get a bye into the quarterfinals, and then the three rounds if they win the first two.
But they could end up without the bye, still make it in, play that extra game, go all the way anyway. I mean, they were
right.
Fourth. They were at the bottom of the very first
right.
playoff. I wonder, you know, it'd be a nice bookend, right, if they won the very first playoff and they won the very first one like this.
Yeah, and if they don't win the Big Ten and they make the playoff, they could very likely host a playoff game at the Horseshoe.
Oh.
So that would be quite the
That would be
event.
So exciting.
Quite the event. No, Ohio State would prefer to get a bye. And logistically, I'm sure a lot of people at Ohio State are like, okay, we're going to pull this off. But they can do it, and it would be a once-in-a-lifetime, or at least first-in-a-lifetime event.
Yeah. We have about 10 minutes left in the hour, and we're hoping to hear from 10 more people give before the hour is over. Bob, if we get a playoff game, I think it's going to be standing room only. I've seen some numbers for like Michigan games that top 102,000. Where are those people going in that situation? I was like, if you have 110,000 people in the stadium, where are they?
Well, I did hear that the capacity is actually down a little bit. I think the 2016 Michigan game, the overtime game, was the all-time record with 110,000. I actually believe because of some additional loges that we were below that number now. I did hear, though, Bill would probably know this, that if they play the first round game in the playoffs, that they had to winterize the stadium because it would be played in December. Is that true, Bill?
That's true to some degree. I think the bigger preparations are for the hockey game, so they've kind of started that stuff anyway. But I'm sure they would have to do certain things. I'm not a stadium expert, but I'm sure they'd have to do things for a December game that they don't have to worry about during the regular season. But look, the Michigan game is late November. Who knows what the weather could be? In 1950, we had the snowball.
Oh, that's true. Way back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. It's our fall membership drive. And that means your support pays for the programs you listen to. Programs like All Sides, All Things Considered, Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs are paid with listener support. And you're running out of time to take advantage of a great gift this hour. You get a pair of tickets to an exclusive WOSU member event. It's a behind-the-scenes VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. You get two tickets for $20 a month as a sustainer, or a one-time gift of $240. The tour will take place on Tuesday, November 19th at 5:30, and it's exclusive to WOSU members. I'll be there. Bill Rabinowitz, our guest this hour, will be there. He's a longtime Buckeyes reporter, knows more about the Buckeyes than I could ever hope to. So if you have someone in your life who loves public radio and the Buckeyes, this is a perfect gift. You get the gift of membership to WOSU, and you get to take a friend on a tour of Ohio Stadium. You could bring a kid. You can bring a sibling, whoever is a Buckeye lover in your life. And you get an autographed copy of quarterback Cardale Jones' book that he co-wrote with Bill about that historic 2014 national championship season. Make a gift of $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240 right now. All you got to do, pick up your phone, you know, open a new tab on your computer if you're listening at work, go to WOSU.org, or just call 866-897-9678. Tickets for this tour are limited, though. There is a limit to how many people we can physically take into the stadium, and you're running out of time to get a spot on the tour. Support All Sides at $20 a month and get a great experience. I want to say thank you to Amy Stang from Canal Winchester. We've got just 9 more to go this hour. On the tour, you're going to be surrounded by other members of WOSU, fans of this show, and fans of the Buckeyes. Plus, attending gets you an autographed copy of the Cardale Jones book. It's all about the 2014 season, but it's also about Cardale. Like, it it was a fascinating read. And I say that as somebody who doesn't read a ton of Buckeyes coverage. I enjoy watching them, but the book was such an intimate look at what it's like to be a player, what it's like to overcome some serious economic and like family issues in order to even make it to Ohio State in the first place. I want to say thank you to Aaron Stonerock from Marysville. We just have 8 more donations to go this hour. It's $20 a month as a sustainer. You get the book, you get the tour. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. As a regular listener to All Sides, you know we bring you a wide range of topics, from football to the most recent season of Untangled, where we spent 5 weeks untangling redistricting ahead of our vote on a constitutional amendment this November. If shows like that are important to you, especially with the November election just around the corner, then support this show today. An in-depth series like Untangled would not be possible without your support. If you appreciate this kind of journalism, make a gift today. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You know, Bill, one of the things I find fascinating is no matter how many times the Buckeyes win or how well they do, there's always this question of whether they're overrated. Why are they always pegged as not good enough?
You know, I that probably comes with a lot of teams. And I think it stems with Ohio State for the fact that, and this is an amazing thing, that Ohio State's always great. They're always at least very good. It's the only program in the country that's never had an extended losing streak. I mean, the last times they had consecutive losing seasons were the first 3 years of the Horseshoe, 1922 to 24. But so they've always been good and usually great. And yet since 1968, they've only won 2 national championships, which is really amazing for a program that's always in the hunt. And so I think there's this sense that somehow, some way, something's going to go wrong, whether it's their fault or the officials. You know, it's a bad year. I mean, they run up against a hot opponent, whatever it might be. It just seems like they're snake bit more often than not. And the 2 championships they've won kind of came out of nowhere, 2002 and 2014. They were not expected to win those. And so I think there's always the expectation, and too often it's been disappointment. So people are kind of waiting for that shoe to drop.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's also the end of an era right now. I mean, Nick Saban's retired.
Right.
Jim Harbaugh went to the NFL. Like, lots of legendary coaches. Like, there's been huge changes, not only just in terms of, like, the Big Ten or the not-so-Big Ten, depending on how
Big
you
18.
Want. Yeah, there's been so many changes this season.
Yeah, obviously, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, or new Ohio State plays at Oregon in 2 weeks, and that's going to be obviously a huge game, the biggest game of the year so far. And so, you know, I wish the Pac-12 still existed. I mean, I think it's a shame that those schools have been forced to, or, you know, obviously that was an implosion, with the Pac-12, but they belong together, but they're not. So make the best of it and think, okay, Ohio State gets to play Oregon. That's a really cool game. They'll get to play USC in future years. That's a really cool game.
Yeah. I saw Oregon here a couple years ago when they did beat us.
Yeah, Oregon did.
I did hear from folks in Oregon after that game, but it was a great game, exciting till the end.
Yeah, and if that game actually has had ripple effects, because that was the game that caused Ryan Day to shuffle his defensive staff and eventually resulted in Jim Knowles being here.
We have 7 more gifts to go, 5 minutes left. I want to say thank you to Matthew D. Temple from Columbus. Bob, you know what I find fascinating is, I guess the U-shaped stadium is not unusual, but the horseshoe is. How did we end up with a horseshoe instead of a more traditional U?
The first famous stadium was the Harvard Stadium, and it was a U-shape. But there was a downside to that, in that if you're seated at the end of the U, at either end, you're twisted. You're not pointed toward the center of the field. The line of sight is not good. The Yale Bowl was the second famous stadium, and it was a circle. But there, if you're sitting at midfield, you're so far away from the action. So they wanted to find something that combined line of sight and distance from the view, and they came up with the horseshoe, plus the fact they wanted to have a track. Track was the most important sport at that time, and they had a 220 went out of the stadium. So in other words, the horseshoe was a compromise between the circle and the U, and it was a little better from viewing standpoint from either of those two options.
That makes sense. So essentially they wanted more good seats, or more seats where you could see the game.
That's right. And more that were pointed toward the center of the field.
It's our fall membership drive, and you're running out of time to make a gift. When you give $10 a month, you get an autographed copy of Cardell Jones's book, which is an essential read for any Ohio State fan and for anyone who cheers for unexpected heroes. You can get the book for $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. But if you really love the Buckeyes, like I do, then you need to attend our special VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. It's $20 a month, but you get two tickets to this exclusive tour just for WOSU members, and you get the book. So you get the book and two tickets for $20 a month. The tour is Tuesday, November 19th at 5:30, and it's $20 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $240. Plus, you get the autographed copy of Cardell Jones's book, co-written with Bill Rabinowitz, who's our guest today. You can read it and reminisce about the national championship and learn in a pretty unvarnished way what it was like to be coached by Urban Meyer. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Perhaps you listen to All Sides pretty often. If you do, then you know how hard we work to bring you a range of topics. From news of the day to long-term trends to historical novels, you're going to hear about it all. Our goal over time is to bring you all sides of issues that matter to you. This is something that only happens on public radio. So support local programming that is truly local. Go online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Give now to get a spot in our VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. Don't miss your chance. It's going to be a great evening. I am so excited. Like, there's so many parts of the stadium that you get to see that were just, you don't see when you go to the games. So give now. It's 90 minutes long. We're going to see the band center, the home locker room, and your gift is going to support public radio. If you listen to All Sides, we're asking you to support the programs that you value. Like Jane Hedge, who just donated from Grove City. Thank you so much, Jane. You can make this drive a success and join us on this incredible tour. Just call 866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. It's $20 a month, and you get access to this event, two tickets, and a great book. 866-897-9678. Bill, I saved the most difficult question for last, and it's a circle back to Michigan. Ryan Day has an excellent record. Like, he's won 56, 57 games, only lost a handful, three of them were to Michigan. What happens at the end of this season? Like, could a national championship make up for losing to Michigan? I mean, what does his future look like?
I think it's probably more solid than some fans, especially as critics, think. I mean, first of all, he has a pretty big buyout, so even if they wanted to, you know, have him depart, it'll cost him. But I think, look, he has been a very successful coach. He is has never brought any kind of disrepute to the program. He's a solid guy, a good family man. Has never made any off-field missteps. I mean, he's as solid as you get. And he's a very good coach. I mean, you talk to people in the business, and they have very high regard for him. And the fact is, Jim Harbaugh lost five straight to Ohio State. And so, you know,
sometimes, and they kept him.
And they kept him. So that's what happened there.
I want to say thank you to our guest this hour, Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch, and Bob Long, who did the renovation of the stadium between 1991 and 2001. And you have a couple of seconds if you want to give. I want to say thank you to Deborah Anderson from Columbus. You can call now, take the tour, 866-897-9678. This is WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus, 89.7 NPR News, global, local.
The candidates for November are set. Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.